At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This month at postwrestlingcafe.com, go XL and you get live editions of Rewind to Raw, Rewind to Dynamite, and Rewind to SmackDown, featuring all the news of the day, your questions and answers, as well as feedback. Postwrestlingcafe.com. $6 gets you in the door.
When Ryan's, when it's time to begin, it's on the Rewind to Raw with John Pollock and waiting the A-Team that makes sense of these things we see in the ring every week on TV. It's Rewind to Raw for Monday night, download a Tuesday morning from the Post Wrestling site. It's Rewind to Raw for Monday night on USA Now on the John and Wade take the mic.
Yes, it is time for Raw. Wei Ting and John Pollock with you. We're just getting warmed up. We just spent an hour going through the G1 Climax Finals, Triple Mania, WWE, and this September 20th war that they are declaring, and the biggest of all, the breakdown of the annual post-wrestling G1 Climax contest. Who won the contest, and more importantly, who won the C-Block? Only those on the Post-Wrestling Cafe have that knowledge, but you know what? I think we can give everyone a wink and a nod that it is now King Ting. Huh.
Was it ever in doubt? Come on.
Ooh, man.
Of course, those of you who don't have Post Wrestling Cafe access, first of all, shame on you. What are you
get out of
for?
Get out of here.
What's wrong with you? But if you do want to find out how you did in this year's Post Wrestling contest, you can go to postwrestling.com/G1, find Chris Angler's final post, and you can, just bow to my feet, because I probably did way better than you.
Wow, man. The ego has not subsided with this victory. But a big shout out to the whole post-wrestling team. I think we put out something like 6 shows since Friday night, including our final G1 Climax podcast. Wei and I were up on Saturday night going through the semifinals and Evil's big march toward the final. And then Sunday, Bruce Lord, Karen Peterson, and WH Park getting together to review the final. We had Collision Course with Kate and John Kleinchester, a great UFC 319 review with Jack Wannon and Eric Marcotte talking about Hamzat Chimaev's dominant 5-round decision win over Dricus du Plessis, and Aaron Pico getting knocked into, he was knocked all the way back to Bellator with that spinning elbow. And after all of that, still bringing you 6+ hours of the NWA podcast on Sunday night. I mean, a true force of nature was post wrestling over this weekend, and a big shout out to our whole team, and especially throughout the G1 season, which has now come to a conclusion.
I'm so incredibly proud of everybody's contributions to this thing that we call post wrestling. And everybody spending a lot of time, in particular our G1 staff, covering this year's contest or tournament, I should say. So thank you, everybody involved. And thank you, everybody on the site. Always really hard at work.
And the Cubs fan this weekend also lending us his expertise running through the Triple Mania card. That is also up on the site. Just a few show notes for this week. If you are a member of the Post Wrestling Cafe, well, on Tuesday, Wei and I are dropping our latest review of WWE Unreal, where we're going to be chatting episode 3 we are now up to. And this will be profiling a lot of the members of the women's division, a big feature on Chelsea Green, who I would say is probably like the main character of this episode. Bianca Belair is featured as well. And also a big look at the return of Jade Cargill at Elimination Chamber. And man, an angle on that show that has totally been forgotten about in lieu of the bigger one at the end of the night. But maybe time will be kinder to that angle, because it's really well remembered and kind of broken down on this episode.
It was pivotal, certainly, for the careers of Naomi, I think, is the person we can say coming out of that probably benefited the most from everything, as we will discuss later on in our review tonight.
Also coming up on Thursday, Rewind Away is going back to 2001. Yes, My mind is spent, my body is broken, and lead me. This year they decided, the art department went nuts. They're like, what if instead of a throne, we have an electric chair? They're like, yeah, okay, that sounds great. So on a show where they booked Kurt Angle to have three matches, including one that, I mean, a man's life was nearly ended, involving him and Shane McMahon. We will cover all of it and the amazing booking of this main event scene with Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, and Chris Benoit vying for the WWF Championship. I have a lot to say about King of the Ring 2001, presented by Combos.
Oh, you got me with the Combos. Absolutely. Yeah, 2001 in the sort of like fog coming out of WrestleMania.
This is 17. The inkling, the very embryonic stages of the invasion that would be poof, gone in no time. But this is the beginning, and we've got a lot of Stalker DDP on this show.
It's an era. I don't know how many people look back on too fondly, but I, for one, love talking about the invasion and love talking about this period coming off of, you can argue, the height of this company in the 90s.
So your favorite storyline?
to talk about, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Way puts the Asian in invasion.
Very good. Very good.
So that is coming up on Thursday for Rewind Away, but Stop the Presses Tuesday, our favorite triumvirate gets together. It is time to get well.
The return of the wellness policy. Thank you very much, John. Yes, me, Jordan, and Neil, we will be back on Tuesday at the Post Wrestling Cafe. In the Post Wrestling YouTube, and then afterwards on the free side of the things at Post Wrestling Cafe, where we're back with the wellness policy, chatting about, well, our collections, our possessions, whatever we want to title this podcast a bit later on. But we're talking about the value of these items that we may hold a lot of sentimental value to in our lives. And we'll be asking each other, well, what are these things in our particular lives? Why we may hold so much value to these things? And whether or not something has to be very valuable in terms of monetary value for it to be sentimentally valuable. So listen to that, 1 p.m. Eastern time, youtube.com/postwrestling.
All right. And it's going to be a very busy week for Neil Flanagan. He will be on the wellness policy. And then we are packing his bags and we are sending him to London this coming weekend for Forbidden Door. The man will be there representing Post Wrestling. Will he get his rematch with Tony Khan after last year? We will find out. He shall be, well, tentatively attending the press conference afterwards. So we look forward to that.
Yeah,
the last company that is of the big two that are doing press conferences. So process of elimination.
One of the only place where you may hear a pro wrestling press conference left over. So
they should have done one after Triple Mania with like Omos
and Microman.
And right, Conan in the Paul Levesque role. Those would be great press conferences.
Shut up. Stop talking. Stop asking me those stupid questions.
What do you think about this one? Dude, I thought that match sucked.
That'd be great.
That would be so refreshing if you had like the promoter come out and just like dump on the show. It's like, man, crowd sucked. Who are those people chanting?
Keeping it 100.
All right, so busy week at Post Wrestling, and of course, this weekend we will be coming at you with shows after Forbidden Door and after Heatwave on Sunday. Brayden and Davey will have that one locked down, Way and I on Forbidden Door duty. But tonight we are going to Philadelphia, and Way, what better place to go than the recently rechristened Xfinity Mobile Arena?
Of course, yeah.
Yes, to Philadelphia, the site of last year's WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
12,265, last number from WrestleTix, and we're starting off with The Vision. And Paul Heyman, here in Philadelphia, stating that here, I am not in God mode, because in Philadelphia, I am God, says he should have a statue for all he's done. He is the GOAT, and he is in a ring full of GOATs, which is tough to pull off grammatically. Like, you can't have the greatest of all time. You can't spread that title across multiple people, can you?
So I guess it would be the greatest of all time.
Can greatists be plural? You can only have one greatest.
That is, yes, a very, you brought up a very, well, they're the greatest in separate categories, as Heyman would explain.
How great is Braun Breaker's new shirt? You want me to describe this?
I don't know if I noticed. Yeah. Can you care to?
So on the front, it reads Badass Brawn Breaker with a speed limit sign.
Oh,
with
yes.
23 mm-hmm. miles per hour that he can run. Mm-hmm. But the gem that takes this one to ridiculous prices on WWE Shop is on the back. It reads, and I quote, "Woof, woof, 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 woof."
Okay. Somebody will be buying it. I'm sure plenty of people.
Oh, I'm sure plenty will be buying this. Yeah. Yeah,
sure. Why not?
He runs through the accolades, the greatest details. Look at this. Like, wouldn't you be like, you'd drop 50 on this without even thinking twice, wouldn't you?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Woof.
If I had,
woof.
Yeah. I often wonder, like, okay, they love shirts with words on it, a lot of text and a lot of like cringy text, for you to wear anywhere, but at a wrestling show. But I imagine these sell enough that they continue to make them. Speed limit 23. I get it. That's how fast he runs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, does it sound that fast? Like to the common person, you know, does it actually look that impressive on the street? You're not specifying that this is how much he runs. Maybe for all we know, that's how fast he drives, which actually
I'm sure every guy wearing this shirt will love to explain to their significant other what this means.
Yeah.
Heyman goes through each one, that Braun is the man who taught Roman to fear the spear, that Bronson is the master of the tsunami, and put Roman down, and Roman is not man enough to get back up. And then Rollins, he says, deserves more credit than even Paul does. He pinned Roman Reigns in the main event of two WrestleManias. And before Rollins can speak, Jey Uso enters through the crowd, and now he's getting kids to yeet. And he is tired of them talking and calls Braun.
That sounded bad in a different context, but
describe it better for me, Way.
No. There's no other way. Yeah.
He calls Braun a puppy dog. And then Rollins like riles up Braun by saying, Jey thinks your dad is a loser. He thinks your uncle is a moron and your family is a bunch of fat asses. And Braun is getting so angry at Jey for what Seth is poisoning his mind with. And he has to be held back from Jey, who's just standing in the crowd. Heyman brings up the ECW arena where we settled grievances in the ring and name drops the Sandman, New Jack, RVD, the late Sabu, and then from there, the late great Tommy Dreamer. And he then clarifies that Dreamer is not dead, but he should be, and then mentions the Dudley Boys.
Interesting call out of Tommy Dreamer. I mean, probably intentional, but like a bit odd, but also completely, I guess, memorable and kind of funny with the way he closed it. Notable, I would say also as well, is this very visible We Want Cross sign in the top right corner that was pretty much
seen there all night.
All night, yeah. So, I mean, there was a report that they were confiscating them. Obviously, not tonight.
Did you hear any chants throughout the show? Because I did not.
I wasn't listening for them, so I didn't really.
Well, you should. If they were and you didn't notice them, then they wouldn't have been that effective, is what I would say. Like, I didn't sense them at all. Jey beats Heyman to the punch and accepts a match for tonight in an Extreme Rules match, which means weapons, with Braun Breaker. So that's our main event.
Yeah. Even in 2025, like, I mean, this company still has some room for ECW nostalgia, at least, you know, once or twice a year, whenever they go back to Philadelphia. It really is just amazing. Like, how much longevity, how much mileage they've gotten out of these. Like,
it went out of business before King of the Ring 2001. Dude, okay. Like, people were still eating combos when ECW was in business.
It's been 25 years. Okay. Since this company has existed. And yet it's like Tommy Dreamer, Sandman, Sabu, like it'll still elicit a big
reaction.
You
say that every single one of these people have wrestled in the last year, including Sabu, who had wrestled a couple weeks before his passing.
Yeah, yeah.
And the ones that are alive will all wrestle in the next year. I mean, the Dudleys are going to be probably, like, what, co-headlining a pay-per-view in October Hardys, of all people. We're about to watch Edge and Christian have a tag run in 2025.
If you were in that crop, if you were any wrestler in the 90s, I feel like you would get work somewhere. You would get booked somewhere in 2025.
Well, great time.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We've got so much going on at the Post Wrestling Cafe. $6 a month gets you access to the full Post Wrestling experience. The newest Rewind Away will be going back to 2001 as we will review King of the Ring, featuring Edge winning the crown and Kurt Angle taking on Shane McMahon in a very well-remembered street fight. Plus, it's all of our reviews of the WWE Unreal series on Netflix, XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, and so much more. All of it can be yours at postwrestlingcafe.com. Kabuki Warriors meet with Io Sky and Asuka apologizes over last week. Io accepts her apology, and again they offer to help her tonight. They have her back, but she insists she needs to do this on her own, just like Asuka had done in the past, winning on her own. So it's a rematch with Io Sky and Raquel Rodriguez. Perez trips Sky from the floor, preventing a dive, and we go through a break, and Sky goes for the bullet train attack and gets caught in the corner, lifted for a Samoan drop, and Raquel hits her corkscrew elbow. Then Raquel rolls out of the way of an over-the-moon salt. Sky hits the tornado DDT, dives onto Perez, catching her off guard, and then hits the dive to Raquel, and Sky is caught on the dive. Raquel rolls to her feet, lawn darts her into the post, and in the ring hits a Tejana, or goes for the Tejana bomb. It's turned into a Hurricane Rana, and this time Io hits the bullet train attack and wins with over the moonsault. And as soon as she wins, it's a two-on-one attack with Perez getting involved. Rhea runs down, big pop, and Sky joins in clearing the ring, and Sky is overjoyed that Rhea has come to save her, and more to come with the Kabuki Warriors.
Mm-hmm. I thought the match was pretty decent. You know, continues to showcase just how much of a focal point Io is to just the current Raw women's division. Raquel, I think, continues to show some improvement, but I do think she continues to show lack a little bit of smoothness, a little bit of confidence with her role as a giant in ring. But I think she has done a very good job in keeping the Judgment Day tag team alive here with Roxanne in Liv's absence. So her profile, I think, is increasing, but I do think there's still strides to be made.
Jackie is with LA Knight, and CM Punk walks in, and LA Knight blames Punk for getting involved in his recent matches. Punk says, you know, we need to work together before Clash in Paris, or else we'll be outnumbered. And Knight turns down his offer and says, you got into my business, and you ended up eating some megastar meat mitts to the mouth. And he kind of stumbled over his words here trying to get this out, which, I mean, how could you not say megastar meat mitts to the mouth?
Sounds like a t-shirt.
Yeah, it sounds like a dare. Like someone asked him to try and pull off a tongue twister on live television.
A special they would sell at Papa John's.
Yeah, yeah.
Or Slim Jim.
It sounds like a nickname that Max Dupree would have had. Megastar meat mitts to the mouth. So anyway, recap of Triple Mania. And then Io thanks Ripley for helping her as the Kabuki Warriors walk in and they argue with Ripley. And Sky tells them all to stop fighting. She storms out. And then Asuka warns Ripley to stay out of their business. And Kairi remains conflicted in the midst of all of this. And this cool part was that they're in the back and the camera just spun around. And with this one continuous shot, we went into the arena from this. So,
well, notable here is that at the end of this scene, Rhea gives a look at this particular wall. And of course, this is the wall where she was injured.
Yeah.
where Liv shoved her shoulder into that caused her the long layoff, which we just discussed on Unreal, of course. So I believe they even did that continuous shot even in that instance as well. So I think they just kind of did the same thing. But it was a really nice little sort of visual detail that they called attention to in this particular spot. I'm liking whatever they're building here between Asuka and Io and Kairi and Rhea, you know. But I think at the end of all of this, we can maybe see some semblance of a EO team with Rhea taking on the Kabuki Warriors with a bit of Judgment Day thrown in there. And if those three teams are active, then suddenly the Raw Women's Tag Division has taken a big step up with those big names attached.
Yes, yes. By big step up, it would be a step up. So that's I agree with you.
Yes, yeah. And then you've got Natty and Maxine somewhere in there as well.
Well, they're working their way up. Yeah. Xavier Woods against Penta for revenge over the sombrero. I'm not kidding. So Xavier does his Fargo strut. He's posing to the crowd. And then Penta hits this high cross off the top of the post onto Woods and Big G. Penta catches an honor roll, hits the Penta driver, but he's delayed going for the cover, and Kofi gets the foot of Woods onto the rope. Penta then leaps off of Woods' back with a somersault dive onto Kingston and Waller, and then in the ring, super kick, Mexican Destroyer. Penta gets the win, and this would not be enough to settle things, because next week, it will be Kofi's turn to take on Penta. And yeah, this was a long match, mm-hmm. and I would say that until this main event, I did not feel like this crowd really got that into any of the matches. And quite frankly, I don't know how much I could imagine any audience to be engaged in this sombrero feud.
I agree. That was notable for me as well. The fact that like a lot of these matches in the middle of the show felt kind of cold. Like there were spots where they're clearly waiting for a reaction. And
they got a little into Mystery Iguana, but like Becky and Natalia was similar. Yeah. We're going to talk like even like the, you know, the main event, it was like, it was the weapons that they were waiting for. And once all the big stars got involved, then it was really lively. But yeah, through the midst of this, like this, you know, it was not matches that really felt like was what this audience was here to get into.
Yeah. Yeah. In the case of some of the others, it was maybe a bit more surprising, but in the case of this match, it really wasn't, because I just don't think this New Day with this grieving gimmick have been interesting at all, not even on a mid-card comedy level. You know, there's just been nothing redeemable, in my opinion, to say about it. Penta, you know, like he's cool, like all his moves, all his like catchphrases, everything is working, but it's just not a feud that feels hot at all.
Then this was weird for a WWE event. They've got all these events to promote, so you better get all the information right. They plug Worlds Collide and tickets going on sale this Friday, and they put up a graphic listing the show for September 12th at 3 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm like, you're going to run a show in Vegas at noon on a Friday? And then later in the show, they had an updated graphic and made it clear this will be a 10 p.m. Eastern start on the Friday after SmackDown, which is in Virginia that night. It's not even in the same city, but that makes more sense because...
Oh, wow. Somebody screwed up.
Yeah, like this is very rare, but like they had the full graphic there with like the wrong start time on it. So anyway, something got lost in translation, but they did get it updated before.
Well, when is the boxing?
The boxing is the Saturday night.
I see. Okay. Yeah.
And then they ran the video of Dominic challenging Vikingo, so that's our match for September 12th. Finn Balor and JD McDonagh against Dragon Lee and Mr. Iguana. And there was a pop when Iguana got tagged in. Lee and Iguana hit Topikon Heroes to the floor, and it's JD with a Poison Rana onto Dragon Lee. Lee comes back with a Liger Bomb. These two were very good together. And Iguana, it was just, you know, the Yeska that everyone was into. He uses it on Balor. Yeska bites the hand of Balor, and I thought for sure we were getting Demonito, but they did not introduce him on this show. JD hits the Acai.
They're saving him for Mania, clearly.
Well, I wonder if they just want to make that like a, I don't know. It'll be interesting if they did bring it up in commentary, so it's not like it was,
I would have totally brought it out.
I thought that was the whole purpose of this match, was to do pretty much redo what they did on Saturday.
But it does appear that this feud is continuing, and so you would expect another match between them. Maybe they're just building it up.
JD hits the acai moonsault to the floor, and then Balor catches Dragon Lee with a sling blade, goes for the shotgun dropkick, and then Dominic grabs Dragon Lee's leg. Balor hits the shotgun and coup de grace, pinning Dragon Lee with Dominic's help. So Judgment Day jump Lee and Iguana. Dominic clears the desk when Vikingo appears, and he proceeds to leap off the barricade, drop kicking Dominic. But in doing so, Dominic goes off the desk and Vikingo just goes right down on this desk. Like, there's no way he didn't do more damage to himself here. Hits a Rana onto Balor off the steps and then a sit out drop kick to JD and the double knees to Dom. But then out of nowhere, Dominic comes back moments later and drills him with the mega title, hits a frog splash, and holds up both the IC and mega championships. So, I mean, they did a fair amount here building up this match for September the 12th for that particular weekend here. But yes, the crowd was more into Vikingo here than they seemed to be on Saturday.
Yeah, another match where, yes, a very, very different response.
They cheered his arrival here.
I thought the action in the actual match was really strong, in particular between JD and Dragon Lee, who looked awesome together. The La Yesca spots were very good, but I will also say, like, I thought the crowd reactions were a bit disappointing for it as well. It ended up being a very good commercial for Worlds Collide ticket sales, and to me, it would spell out a trios match between all the participants here, between the three men in the Judgment Day and also Vikingo with Mr. Iguana and Dragon Lee.
I could see them doing this like trios match before Worlds Collide. Like, you could do this on Raw or something. Yeah.
You got three Raws left until Worlds Collide. So we'll see what sort of integration and consistent presence Vikingo will have until then.
Jackie is with Becky Lynch, who didn't. This was weird. She denies attacking Natalya last week, says Natalya attacked me. This was almost verbatim the Drew McIntyre promo about Cody on Friday.
Yeah, very similar.
Mm-hmm. Like the exact same thing. She said, I was just giving Maxine a pep talk, and then Natalya shoved me. I had to defend myself, which is the same thing Drew said. And Natalya, you don't belong in the same ring as me. Bailey, week two. So last week, some people were taking it as like this like really like emotional video from Bailey. And I think you and I, like, when you heard the ding dong at the end of it, it certainly screamed like they're doing like some kind of split personality deal with her. They made it abundantly clear here. So she's battling this inner voice, and it is so tough that the camera's out of focus as well. That's shooting her here. And she's hearing heel Bailey in her head that she doesn't need friends. And Bailey, real Bailey, is telling heel Bailey, stop. And she says that she doesn't know what she needs. So the heel voice says, how about a hug? And then we go to Michael Cole and Corey Graves, who acknowledge it's hard to see someone that they know unravel. And this was the part of the show where I had to pause. And if this were real, like, how are you hearing this inner voice if you are Michael Cole and Corey Graves? How are they aware of what we're hearing in this video?
Special camera, special microphones that they have in WWE production that can pick up the voices in your head.
Oh, my gosh.
They got they're working.
This is our imagination.
Well, they're working with TNA, I was going to say. So clearly, Jeremy Borash had some sort of hookup to the Jeff Hardy inner monologue cameras that they've managed to hook up.
You know, if you shoot someone in a really strong depth, you can hear their inner thoughts.
That's how it works, yeah.
Yes.
It's pro wrestling, buddy. Like, we saw a lizard, you know, wrestle a match, right? So I think these are overall well done. This week, it was a lot more explanatory, not leaving that much room for the mystery for us to decipher compared to maybe previous weeks where, you know, they might have been teasing like, oh, like a sort of she might be possessed by some sort of a mystical thing. No, this week it's telling you that it's teasing a return to her heel character. Whether or not they're including this sort of split personality thing as a part of the new gimmick, I guess, remains to be seen. It would also be very similar to R-Truth and Ron Killings, who are also working a split personality gimmick at the moment as well.
We're going to get the parody video of this on SmackDown with R-Truth.
With R-Truth, maybe. I would say overall, though, like, visually, I do think they are impactful.
Yeah, I'll reserve judgment on this, but this certainly has the ability to be pretty out there. We'll see. It's going to come down to Bayley pulling this off. It's a tough ask.
Support for this post-wrestling podcast comes from those of you who have picked up our merch over at Chopped Tees. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, and hats from post-wrestling and our network of shows, including the NWA Podcast, Poison Rana, The Long and Winding Royal Road, WrestleNomics, and MC Later. Free shipping to almost anywhere in the entire world. No minimum spend required. That's chopped-tees.com/post-wrestling.
Becky Lynch and Natalya for the Women's Championship. Again, they really just struggled with a crowd that was not really into this. Becky worked on the arm after sending the shoulder into the post, and that was the focus of the whole match. Natalya tried for the sharpshooter, and she kicked at the arm to prevent it. Becky then boots Maxine on the floor and hits a baseball slide dropkick, taking out Tozawa. That was the end of Tozawa. Natalya managed a roll-up, but Becky kicked out, goes to the disarmer, and Natalya must submit at 7 minutes and 50 seconds. This was Natalya tapping out, because Natty would have just gone out cold.
That is an important distinction to make, because Natalya clearly has a very different look and also wrestling style for her non-WWE appearances compared to her WWE appearances.
Which is what she did on Saturday. It was the Natty version.
Yeah, we just saw her come out on Saturday with the whole MMA routine coming out with
maybe
entourage.
These videos should have been reserved for Natty.
She's got a split personality gimmick as well.
Yeah.
Everybody's got split personalities in wrestling.
Yeah.
Obviously.
The character I want to be and the character I have to be on WWE.
Yeah. The character that the writers on Unreal are not aware of that I want to book for myself.
I don't want to be this stupid R-Truth character anymore. I want to be Ron Killings, goddamn it.
But for whatever reason, they are clearly separating those two and keeping those two distinct. And I mean, just having seen her much more interesting incarnation on Saturday, it's somewhat makes this version of Natalya coming out with the bedazzled cowboy hat just feel so much less interesting in a match like this. Overall, I thought the attempt at telling an arm story, okay, but hardly anything you would hope for of a high-level sort of grappling type of exhibition.
So she won't release the disarmer. So Maxine is trying to stop her. So Becky lets go and then jumps both Natalya and Maxine from behind and puts Maxine in the disarmer when Nikki Bella runs down. She's in the Philadelphia Eagles colors and she just goes after Becky and hits a rack attack 2.0. Looked very good here. I mean, she just nailed the move here and wasn't defaulting to the former rack attack either. She didn't second guess this time. So
she her muscle memory figured itself out. Yeah. No, the ferocity and the forearms looked really good. She was wearing her Misawa green, so I'm sure very influenced.
Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. Exactly. Did you see her promo later during the commercial break?
I did not. No, how was it?
Cuz I'll include that here. So okay. Saxon interviewed her during one of the commercial breaks later and she basically said, "I'm going to be in Birmingham, England next week." She challenged Becky for a match for the title and says, "You might have the title, but like the Philadelphia Eagles, I have a ring," as she showed off her Hall of Fame ring. This is a really good promo from Nikki Bella. I would not have included it if I didn't think it was anything, but it sounds like they're going to do the match in England next week.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That line, though, does set up for quite the comeback from Becky, who also does have a ring, but a different sword that Nikki does not have.
Jesus, I didn't even think of that one. That is a good... You should be writing these.
No, I don't think so.
That is a good comeback.
But Birmingham, England for this. I mean, I could also see a rematch if they do decide, but as a TV match, I think it works as well.
So they follow that with Jackie with Sheamus, who gets approached by Rusev. Once again, they get separated, and Adam Pearce makes a good old-fashioned Donnybrook between the two for Clash in Paris. So a hardcore match.
It's so weird seeing Adam Pearce all flustered and just suddenly yell, "All right, that settles it. You're having a Donnybrook match."
Good old-fashioned Donnybrook.
Yeah, as if that's just such a common thing. Yeah.
Then we had a clip, a bonus episode dropping tonight of What's Your Story with Stephanie McMahon. I thought they were going to air a teaser for our show.
A bonus clip for Rewind of Raw. Yeah.
So it's Stephanie sitting down with Naomi and Jimmy Uso, and Naomi's got news to share. And we cut to commercial because Naomi is coming up next. What could this news be?
A cliffhanger.
Yeah, a cliffhanger. Vic Joseph also interviewed Trick Williams and Javon Evans during the commercial break, and they set up their match for tomorrow night, which will determine who faces Obafemi at Heatwave. It included Trick talking about Javon Evans, who is bouncy, and says, "People don't go to the zoo to see a gazelle bounce. They come to the zoo to see a lion like me."
Some people might go to see gazelles. I'd go see kangaroos. I want to see a kangaroo.
I want to see things bounce more than lions. Jay is with CM Punk in the locker room. Again, Punk says, "Let's work together." Jay says, "Get lost." And I don't want to owe anyone any favors, but he was complimentary in doing this, but was not interested in Punk's help. Pierce brings out Naomi, and Naomi is looking all emotional, and she is like out of character here and throws to the screen, and it's the continuation of "What's Your Story" with Stephanie McMahon. I loved how they made this podcast the centerpiece of this this big announcement. And this is where Jimmy and Trinity announce that they are expecting a child. And we come back, the whole crowd is cheering, Naomi is crying, and then in what was just amazing, she immediately flips back to her character, turning on Adam Pearce, says, "This isn't the first time I've relinquished a title. I am not handing you shit." And the place goes nuts for Naomi here. She says, "My hormones are jumping, so I advise you to get out of my face," and sings goodbye to Adam Pearce. The crowd loves this. Says, "All the women should be thanking Big Jim, because without him, they'd never get near my title. I was going to dog walk you for the next year." But says, "On the bright side, the bloodline continues, baby." And she cackles, just that demon laugh. The crowd is chanting OTC. They chant Baby Uso, and says, as she lays down the belt, "Even if I have to come back breastfeeding with a baby in my arm, I'm coming for that title. And whoever has it, I advise you to proceed with caution," and walks off in the greatest pregnancy announcement in the history of pro wrestling.
You know what? I was just kind of like counting them in my head, like, because we've had several actually at this point of like women announcing their pregnancies, like in the WWE even. Like, I'm thinking, remember Karma did one? Obviously, Becky Lynch. Karma.
Yes, Becky being the most recent one. Are there others?
Yeah, I forget. Awesome Kong.
Yeah, that comes to mind.
I'm trying to think. Like, I guess like some of these announcements haven't necessarily been in ring. Like, people have gotten pregnant, obviously, but they haven't necessarily been an in ring announcement. In either case,
have any of them dropped character and then resumed it mid-segment?
I don't know this degree
of success.
That I don't know. But okay, even if it's a short list, this was clearly, I have to say, maybe probably the best one. And I love that. Like, this was the highlight of the show for many reasons. Number one, it's the most important announcement that anybody was able to make on the show. In the context
Of the good old-fashioned Donnybrook?
Just a little bit better than that, yeah. In the context of, like, somebody's wrestling career, yes, it could be potentially like reframed that this is unfortunate timing for somebody who's arguably receiving the biggest push of her entire life. But I'm so glad, like, the feeling coming out of this is that this person really has nothing to worry about when it comes to her career, because she was given the space to let this announcement feel important. And with that space, she displayed the incredible charisma that she possesses that will make her job secure and her position secure for years to come. It's not a situation of a mid-carder, like, you know, taking time off and disappearing and never to be thought about again. Like, this to me was the type of promo that will make the audience miss her tremendously, and one that only creates anticipation for her return because of how good it was. It was both on the one hand incredibly real. You got those tears, which I think she's just she's great at showcasing her real self. She always has been, but now she's been able to, like, on a dime, just turn into this tremendously compelling heel character as well. And you got both of those sides of her here. And it just, like, the jokes worked really well. The bloodline worked really well. And it just created for, as Paula Beck loves to call, a great moment on this particular show.
Moments. I thought this segment was great. Congratulations to them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this because I just thought like it was just going to be the the characters on pause. We're going to give up the title. I love that they just did the flip because I don't think this crowd was expecting it. And more importantly, you had a figure here in Adam Pearce where it was like they just all just turned on Adam Pearce immediately and they all just went with Naomi. Everyone wanted to be behind her. I thought it was a really like it was a cool idea for it. And yeah, and listen, I know that, you know, some people that like look at this and just think that, well, like, of course, she shouldn't have any concerns about stuff. Like, yes, there have been inroads in WWE, but like, let's not forget, like, a Carmella who, you know, just they let her contract expire after the fact. Like, this is a reality that, you know, female performers, they do have to, like, that is an issue. Like when something like that happens and it's like she didn't come back and then they just let her contract expire, shouldn't be something that you have to think about, but it is something that has happened in the not too recent past. Yeah. She's on this great run, but I mean, you also think about this woman, like she's basically been on the road for 15 years at this point as well. Mm-hmm. Like there is good for her that she is like doing this.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I certainly Carmella would be one of those, you know, people I would have mentioned previously being a mid-carder who just kind of disappears, never to be thought of again. But there's a big difference, I think, in terms of ranking and just level of push, right? And Naomi at this point, like having accomplished this goal of being a title contender through this Jade Cargill feud and now champion, I think has established herself as a much higher sort of like, you know, of higher importance to the company. I would say like on a similar level to like an Alexa Bliss who, you know, was able to come back. Becky Lynch who had a child and was able to come back.
Rousey.
Ronda Rousey, you know, I think she will continue to be an important presence in the company going forward. And if this is the, like, if we can mark this at least as like the end of her chapter of her return to the WWE, like what a return, you know, like her leaving with Sasha, going to various promotions, getting that experience and coming back. Who could have seen the success that she would receive up until this point?
We've got so much going on at the Post Wrestling Cafe. $6 a month gets you access to the full Post Wrestling experience. The newest Rewind Away will be going back to 2001 as we will review King of the Ring, featuring Edge winning the crown and Kurt Angle taking on Shane McMahon in a very well-remembered street fight. Plus, it's all of our reviews of the WWE Unreal series on Netflix, XL editions of Rewind to Raw, Dynamite, and SmackDown, and so much more. All of it can be yours at postwrestlingcafe.com.
So they announced for Raw next week, which has a 3 p.m. start time on Netflix. So it's interesting. We have both AEW doing shows this week in Europe with the Glasgow show on Wednesday. But because of
this was a note we made when they announced these European dates, close they were in proximity to Forbidden Door.
Yes. Yeah. That was the because, yeah, they're doing like live events this weekend, too, in like in and around England as well when Forbidden Door is happening. But so AEW, they do not air earlier, but the WWE shows, they do on, if you have Netflix, for SmackDown, it'll air the normal time in the US, but Netflix, you will get it in the afternoon. So next Monday, 3 Eastern is when Raw will be airing with Rhea Ripley against Roxanne Perez, Kofi Kingston against Penta, and presumably we're going to be getting Becky Lynch and Nikki Bella on that show too. Dominic is seen speaking with El Grande Americano. Judgment Day is leaving the arena, and Dom just tells Balor he's making sure that we are always on top. And Balor had this, he was looking worried here that Dom was in conversation with El Grande Americano.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what Dom said to Grande in Spanish, but I guess I'm curious what the end result of this dissent that they're teasing between Dom and Balor is, because they've certainly cooled that off for quite a while.
And our main event, Extreme Rules, Jey Uso against Bron Breakker. And Jey comes out in a bandana with a shopping cart as New Jake. No.
New Jake. Love it.
Yeah. I wish they had, they should have gone the extra mile and got the WWE Network theme.
Oh.
In the ghetto.
Yeah.
In the ghetto. So Jey, they mentioned Jey beat Bron for the IC title in this building last year. So how about that?
Okay, what a coincidence.
And nearly destroyed Braun in the opening minute where he clotheslines Braun over the top rope and Braun comes down on this shopping cart full of weapons. All I can tell you is that the sound of this
was pure agony to hear. The way he came down on this, it was just a sound that felt like a man whose leg was just shattered. And he is down. And like, how long until he was like able to put weight on both of his legs? It was, you might have skipped it because I was watching live at this point. So I got to see the whole commercial break where this guy either deserves an Emmy for his selling, or more likely, he was in a lot of pain because I have never seen Braun so vulnerable as he was here, where for literally like 5 minutes, he could not get to his feet. And he was just like crawling around the ring. And you have never seen someone kill more time than Jey Uso, who is like, he goes for a dive and Braun can like barely even catch him. And then Jey goes to one side of the ring. And this was all during the break. He pulls out one chair after the other and he slowly throws them in and everyone's chanting yeet. And it's just chair after chair after chair as Braun is just recovering. And finally, they come back from break. The ring is full of chairs. And finally, Braun blocks a dive by Jey. And now Braun can get to his feet and seem fine the rest of the way. Jey's ribs are dropped onto a pair of chairs. Corey accidentally referred to him as Jimmy, and I guess going back to that promo, which one is he? And he did correct himself. Braun leaps onto the apron and then takes him out with a trash can onto the desk. We go through a second commercial break. Breakensteiner is hit and then goes for the spear. Jey stops with a spear of his own. That got a big reaction, and Jey attacks him with chair shots, and as he goes for the Uso splash, Bronson Reed yanks the referee out, stopping the count, and Reed attacks Jey. This sends LA Knight out, followed by Seth Rollins, who jumps Knight from behind and hits a pedigree to Jey. CM Punk runs down, and as his music stops, the crowd keeps singing. Knight and Punk team up on Rollins, and Rollins knocks Punk into Knight, sending him off the apron through a table, continuing their issues together. So Punk and Rollins then fight into the crowd. They disappear. There's chance of OTC when Reed shoves Jey off the top. Braun is setting up for a spear around the ring when Reigns' music plays. And I thought that this spot was great because Braun, what is our biggest pet peeve? It's like the music plays and the guy is in carbonite and he's just stuck and he can't move. And Braun hears this music and he's looking around the ring. Then he's looking at the entrance. He doesn't know where he's going. And then he says, screw it, I'm going for my spear. And he runs around the ring and Reigns appears and spears him. I was like, that was a great laid out spot. So Braun is dead on the floor. Reigns then Superman punches Reed, rolls him into the ring. And Jey wins with the Uso splash, pinning Braun Breaker in 20 minutes and 24 seconds. What'd you think of the match before we get to the post-match?
I thought it was a really hot end to the match and the show. I would say again, much of the show had a crowd that sounded pretty disappointing, but here in this particular at least end of this match, I thought they sounded about as loud as any crowd. I would actually say for the duration of the match too, just with all the weapons, I think this crowd
helped, and then you got the procession of stars, and that's what a lot of these audiences they want. They just want, you know, the big stars, and they like Reigns was advertised. Everyone knew Reigns was coming out, so it was just a matter of like when, and you know they pop big for it.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was a well laid out match. You know, despite it being a long match, I thought it was pretty compelling overall. And every run in received a big, big satisfying response.
So if you were listening closely, Reigns yells and he doesn't have a microphone. I don't fight for shoes. I fight for championships. And he's going back and forth with Bronson Reed as Heyman's holding Reed back. And Michael Cole, right on top of things, says, Reigns just said, I'll see you in Paris. That must mean Clash in Paris. No, maybe we're going to vacation together and I'll see you on the beach. What a collision that would be. So thank you, Michael Cole, for piecing this together for us, because I would have been lost on this review if not for Michael Cole to direct me to Clash in Paris and presumably our latest match edition for August 31st.
So what does the card look like right now for Clash in Paris?
So we have got...
We got John Cena, Logan Paul, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Jey Uso, LA Knight, that four-way, Sheamus versus Rusev, Roman Reigns versus Bronson Reed.
Right.
And I would assume a women's match to be added to that.
Yeah, they said they would address the women's title next week and what's going to happen with whatever they're going to do with the women's title if they've plotted that out yet. But yeah, we're at four matches, and I would assume that there was a teaser posted today of Cody Rhodes as Guile. So I'm assuming like he's off doing Street Fighter at the moment.
What's
so
the teaser?
It was just like a shadow of him with the hair. So you can't actually see him as Guile, but it's a photo of the shadow of him with the hair. Yeah.
This looks awesome.
It's a cool shot.
I can't wait.
So I imagine that like
amazing.
That. Yeah.
I can't wait to see him in this hair.
I think they're filming this in Australia. So, I mean, that explains Cody's absence, and I'm pretty sure he'll be, you know, not on this cycle for the Paris show.
Yes. And just as far as like what the extra match is, of course, the match was supposed to be Stephanie Baker versus Naomi.
Right.
So we have to wonder what the result of all of that is.
It has
to be Baker versus another challenger, right? Because she's earned the shot.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it just depends what they're planning to do with this belt. If they're just going to do a one-off match and put the belt on someone, like they could very well put it on Vicaire.
You could, yeah. You, I mean, I feel like it would promise the crowning of a new champion for the Bacon Championship at this show.
And you could put it on this show. I mean, there is no women's match on this show, which they probably want to get on there, and they're not apparently doing Becky and Nikki, so. That would maybe be your best option is Vicaire and someone else, or however you want to get to it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there you go. That was Raw. I would not say one of the hotter crowds of the year by any stretch, but you know, they did get into the end, and I mean, overall as a show way, I didn't have too many issues with the wrestling, but it was like there just was not a whole lot of heat attached to it. But you got your big set up with Roman at the end, and that seemed to be the big thing on the show that they wanted to direct you to, and like a great announcement and handling of everything with Naomi I thought was definitely a high point of the show,
big highlight of the show. Yeah, but otherwise overall I thought it was like a good show that built well to a lot of the stories from Clash of Paris, and also one that I thought treated Worlds Collide with a lot of like importance. You know, they repeated it, replayed clips from it throughout the entire event, and just kind of made it feel like that was a worthwhile show that was in canon and not just something that existed out of it.
What if they had, after the show, they just decided they beat down Roman and Jay, their left laying, and then Metallica starts playing.
Sure,
why not? And then out comes Jim Fullington. I'll see you in Paris.
Yeah.
That must be Paris, Ontario.
Thank you.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you, everyone, on the YouTube feed. Hey, hit subscribe, okay? You freeloaders, we're trying to get to 30K now. That's the new goal, okay? Way wants to put next to his C block crown. He wants one of those YouTube plaques, okay? So that's the next thing we're going to go for, okay?
Long ways away from that, but yeah. Yes.
Unless you want us to start titling these videos with just sensationalistic descriptions. We'll capitalize words. We'll do our reaction shots. That will make you all.
That's right. Yes. For audio listeners, you're going to have to watch the video for that one. But thank you guys for listening. Stick around if you're in the XX. Let's call this one the XXL edition, okay, with how long this show has already been with our previous conversation. But we'll be talking about some of your feedback and also questions if you have any over on the cafe.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.